In this episode, we get to speak with front-end developer, tech author, and pianist David Khorshid.
New stuff coming to Keyframers. Pineapple is okay on pizza.
And we learn what 0.50, 0.51 can do for your animation.
Thunder! 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 Thunder!
Welcome to Thunder Nerds. I'm Brian Hinton.
I'm Janelle Pizarro.
And I'm Frederick Philip Von Weiss. And thank you for consuming the Thunder Nerds, a conversation with the people behind the technology that love what they do.
And do tech good.
Ha! Doing tech. Hey guys, we have a very special show today. We got some cool guests that I'm super excited to talk to. And before we do, we just want to go ahead and ask you if you can please subscribe to our YouTube channel, which we just reached a 200 subscribers. So thank you so much, everybody out there, for subscribing. If you can, go to iTunes and make it rain a few stars for us, write us a review. We'd really and sincerely appreciate it. Just to say today, we have a sponsor, Pantheon. So thank you, Pantheon, for sponsoring our show. If you don't know Pantheon, I could personally vouch for Pantheon because I've been using it for 2 years. I was looking for a Drupal solution for my Drupal 7 website. Someone else maintain, make all the updates, so I didn't have to update this every 2 months when there was something new coming out. I wanted something that was just quick and easy to use and something that was Git-based, more importantly. And it's nice because it has a dev environment, test environment, a live environment. So I could do all my stuff. I could push things around. I could easily add team members and I could test stuff on my test. I could pull my live database in. I could pull all my files in and see, make sure everything's working and then push it to live and have a safe environment to test in and get everything going. So it's a great solution. Just give it a look. It has fast page speeds. It's for WordPress. It's for Drupal 7 and 8. They have super fast global CDN with 40 global pops and they have free HTTPS, which is nice. So go to Pantheon, give them a look, give them a try. So thank you, Pantheon. And before we get to our guest, the last thing we do now is we're going to start reading our reviews. I believe, Janelle, you're going to take it away.
Yeah, this is by your boy, Carl, right? This is pretty great. These guys are great. I know, right? Carl, thanks. These guys are amazing, super fun to listen to, and talk with the energy is pure, upbeat, and super lively. I especially love how they dive deep into talking with people currently in the industry and give viewers a way to interact and learn about information they normally wouldn't get anywhere else.
Dadgum, right, Carl. Thanks, man. Carl!
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, Carl!
Carl! There is a dead human in our house!
Oh, hey! How did he get here?
Carl! Oh, that was really nice, man. Thank you so much. And if you want us to read your review live on the show, please go ahead and go to thundernerds.io/review and give us a review. We would really appreciate that. Now, without any further ado, we'll go ahead and get to our guest. And this is a long list of super technical things. Let me read this correctly. We have front-end developer, tech author, international speaker, open source contributor, co-host of the Keyframers. We're going to get to that because that's pretty awesome. And pianist, David Khorshid. Welcome to the show, David.
Welcome, David.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, honored to have you on the show. Honored to have you back on the show, man. We talked to you back in, I think it was November of 2017 at DevFest Florida.
Yes. Yeah. Very briefly.
Yeah, you were our first guest, and I think we had you on for about 20 minutes.
Yeah, something so like that.
Do you juggle, David? Is there a,
do like, I juggle?
Juggle?
I juggle time zones.
That's what I do. Yeah, because with that list, well, he writes, he develops, he speaks, he has a podcast.
Yeah, there's nothing David doesn't do except juggle. That's the one.
Yeah. I can't juggle. Also, I can't sing either, and I sleep sometimes, you know, like a healthy amount, you know, 2 times a week at least.
Wait, you can't sing and you were a musician? I thought that kind of goes together.
With what?
Being a musician.
what, sleeping?
Yeah, absolutely. Like you could definitely like hear like keys or in tones in your head, right? Like you could, like if you play an A, you could hear the A, right?
Yeah, that's typically what happens when you press down the key on the piano, you hear it.
That's right, but do you have like pitch?
Oh yeah, perfect pitch, yes, I do. And I thought that everyone had it for a while until people were just like playing round notes on the piano and saying, "What note is this?" And I'm like, "Oh, that's an A." And they'd be like, "How'd you do that?" I'm like,
exactly, yeah. So you should be able to do a little bit of a la 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 la. No?
I can't sing. No. Perfect pitch doesn't mean perfect voice, unfortunately.
Sad day.
Jeez, way to make him feel bad about it. God, guys.
If you don't mind, I'd love to go into your story, which you told us at DevFest Florida about how you were going to school for music. You were going to be a pianist professionally, and then you, by circumstance, you needed to build a website for your to market yourself, and that's kind of how you got into the whole web design thing, because you some reason you didn't like iWeb, which was all the craze. Do you mind just telling our audience a little bit about that?
I'm surprised how much you remember that, but yeah, so I always had an interest with computers. My dad is in a technical field as well, and so that's where I got my intro to computers. I started playing around with BASIC and then Visual Basic and just learning some fun things. I was sort of a math nerd, so I just liked playing around with just programming languages and seeing, like, you know, just making prime number generators, the things that they ask in front-end interview, you know, just how do you determine if a number is prime, stuff like that. But I also really liked piano, and I've been playing piano for about over 20 years now, maybe 22 years. And so, yeah, I was going to school for music. We had this intro to music technology class, and our final exam was we had to make a website marketing ourselves as a musician. And so we had to use this program called iWeb, which was drag and drop. And I didn't have a Mac. I had a PC. And I didn't want to walk all the way to the lab because it's like a mile. Or I could take the shuttle. Anyway, I was just a really lazy student. So I decided, you know what? I want to learn how to do this in the comfort of my own home. So I, you know, just studied up. I went to W3 schools, which I'm not promoting them. They're not the best resource. Do not go to them. It's like an anti-advertisement. the MDN web docs are so much better anyway. Yeah. But anyway, that's where I originally learned HTML, CSS, and a little bit of JavaScript from. And so I worked hard, made the site, and just because it looks so different and I spent so much time on it, my professor said, you need to be doing this as a career. And so that's when I started looking into it. Got an internship doing WordPress templates, and then worked at the College of Sciences at UCF, University of Central Florida, for about a year and a half, doing sort of the same thing.
And that's where you went to school too, right? You graduated in 2012 or something? Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So really convenient.
So was your plan actually going to be a musician? Like what did that look like? What did your projected future look like to you before that?
Yeah. Just a musician playing for churches or concerts or something like that. And teaching piano, which I actually did for about 5 years while I was in college.
What piano do you play? What's your what choice? Like, what do you have at home?
So I have a Yamaha piano, and it's actually a grand piano that I got at a steal. Really excited to get it because, you know, I didn't ever think I'd get a grand piano, but I have that. It also very much limits my options for moving anywhere, which is why I'm very much set in Orlando, because pianos are heavy. Can't really just
put it on your
shove
back.
It in the back. No, can't do that.
Well, it's nice if the power goes out, you have the piano.
Yeah,
everything else is gone. You have your piano. You're analog. You're good.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I did. The last big hurricane that came through, I just practiced piano.
Wow. Nice. That's super fun.
Yeah. And if I was just a coder, I would be just writing code on a piece of paper, which is no fun. You know, piano's a lot more fun than that.
No, you know, I've charted on paper. It doesn't show any results. It's weird.
Yeah, it's hard to build it. Hard to debug.
you can't compile it unless you actually poke holes in the paper, which is what they used to do.
Yeah, oh, my gosh. That's true. That sounds terrible.
Yeah, you ever use SAS with chalk? It's a nightmare.
No.
So, David, let's talk about some of your code pen stuff. You've got literally some of the most famous code pens like out there. One of the big ones that, I mean, at least I noticed, I'm sure a lot of other people in the past 2 years have noticed it as well, is Alex the CSS Husky.
Yeah.
You've got the house that like moves.
He's like thanks for mentioning.
Oh yeah.
It's really great. So like talk about how you started getting into CodePen and what your favorite pens are.
So it started a while ago where I was just trying to create a small interaction that I saw on an old Android device where you tapped the address bar of the Chrome mobile application and to sort of expand it. And I wanted to see if I can make that using only CSS. And so I did. And I posted it on CodePen and it got all of 10 views or something like that. It was, but I decided, you know, just for my own enjoyment, I just wanted to keep trying to make these things. So I went on Dribbble, I looked for interactions and I thought, I bet I could do this with only CSS. And so I just tried to make these CSS only things. And so at the time I wasn't that good at JavaScript. I just came from a PHP environment and I was doing a lot of CSS. And so I discovered that some of these pens were actually getting really popular and shared around a lot. And so I decided to just push the idea further and further until one day, one of my coworkers at one of my previous jobs challenged me to make this animated dog that someone made. She said, do this in CSS. And I was like, okay. So I, you know, stayed up pretty late in the hotel room that night working on it, and I showed her and she was like, all right, this is cool, I'm sharing it, and she shared it, and then all of a sudden just things blew up from there. So
yeah,
that's so cool.
It's incredible.
I love the thing, the animation that you did on Codrops, the wolf, I think it's a fox and a wolf.
Yeah. Oh, and when you hover, yes, over it, its nose.
Yeah, you have do you have any more articles that are, or introductions that are coming on there anytime soon? I think that's the only one you have on there.
On CodeDrops? No, yeah. So that's the only one. But I have various other tutorials on other sites, such as CSS Tricks and others. I can't think of the name right now.
Yeah, CodeDrops is awesome. I think it's the first time I actually saw your work was via that, and then I ended up going visiting CodePen and the house one, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Love the house one.
House is super cool.
Yeah, super, and I was actually surprised that was like the number one most hearted pen last year, and I was shocked.
It reminds me of old Disney and Warner Brothers cartoons where that the buildings would like hop and animate when music was playing. It gives that similar effect. Yeah. That, I mean, it's hard to make a house have personality.
Yeah, so that animation was originally by Gal Shear. He's an animator and designer from Israel, and he does some incredible work. In fact, I've recreated a bunch of his animations already just because it's so much fun to do. Like, there was one, a cat swinging on a string, and the choose your week thing where you could delete all the weekdays and just extend the weekend, which I wish were a real life app, but yeah.
Yeah, he's doing a lot of animation.
When you use somebody's work, like, and you reach out to them first, do you say, hey, do you mind if I do this? What do you think? Or afterwards you reach out to them and say, hey, look what I did of your work.
Oh, no, I'm asked for forgiveness all the way. and thankfully, I've never had to do that. In fact, the designers very much appreciate that I do it because, number one, I credit them in multiple places, both when I share it out in tweets, I'm like, this is who it's from, this is where I found it, and also in the CodePen descriptions, that's, you know, where I put credit to them and say that it is inspired or directly just a recreation of their work. And so that's very much the culture in Dribbble anyway, where they have things called rebounds, where you would take a design and you would just work off of that. And so I'm doing something similar, except just doing it in a different medium.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
So I hope it's okay, and I hope that, you know, the animation cops don't come busting down my door and arresting me. Yeah.
How would that look like? Could somebody animate that to see what that would look like? Happen maybe in canvas.
Sorry, what was that?
I said maybe in Canvas.
Yeah.
So what are some of the takeaways you want people to get from these pens?
Well, the first thing, and one of the main things that I tried to emphasize at the very beginning, and this was actually part of one of my first talks ever, is the fact that you don't need JavaScript for everything. And even if you could do something easily in JavaScript, there's many advantages to just trying to use the least powerful technology possible in order to accomplish something. And that's because it provides a very standard way and a very declarative way of doing something. So when I make my animations, I just love the fact that I could do them in CSS and then inspect them in the animation inspector. And all that's possible because I am doing them in either CSS or using the Web Animations API instead of immediately reaching for a library like Greensock or Velocity or any of these other libraries.
Do you manually code the curve then for the animation? How do you handle that sort of thing so you're not just doing...
Oh, so like the Bezier curves?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so that's... people actually make that a lot more complicated than it needs to be. So if you imagine, like, there's four numbers, which might seem like very, very magic numbers. And I'll tell you my favorite Bezier curve that I use pretty much everywhere is 0.5, 0, 0.5, 1. And so it's very, very simple, like simple numbers. It's half, 0, half, 1. And so if you imagine that, that's a very smooth, you know, sort of sinusoidal curve, right? Which it starts off smooth and it ends off smooth. And it's perfectly, like, you could see it levels off very flat, which is exactly what you want. Because nothing starts from, you know, just like that. It always starts from a zero, and then it accelerates, and then it decelerates to, you know, to zero again. And so that's why I use that. It looks nice. Some people swear by their magic numbers, but that's all you need. 0.5, 0, 0.51, very easy to remember.
We'll add that in the show notes.
Yeah.
He gave that talk at CodePen. It was like literally a 7-minute talk, and he's like, that's it. That's it. It was great.
You've been to some CodePen events, speaking of which, right? Or going to be?
Yeah, so Janelle and I have been organizing the Orlando CodePen meetups, and we've sort of been doing them semi-annually just because I've been extremely busy, and so Janelle, and but we're going to start trying to do them monthly, and so we're going to be starting in September. What these Orlando CodePen meetups are, just like all the other CodePen meetups are, it's a mixture of talks and show and tells, and it all revolves around the front-end space and just doing really cool things with CodePen. And so if any of you watching don't know, CodePen is basically a scratch pad for just making these really cool front-end experiments. So using HTML, CSS, and JavaScript, there's a lot you could accomplish and a lot that you could show off or experiment with in CodePen. And so even if you go on the CodePen website, you're definitely going to get a ton of inspiration from all of the interesting and innovative things that people have made right on that scratch pad.
Yeah, it's really great.
I think those challenges every week are amazing just to look at.
Yes.
Frederick, stop interrupting Janelle. Go ahead,
Janelle. Hey!
Oh, really? Well, I didn't hear you, Janelle.
No, it's cool. It's cool. It's cool. You're good. Okay. All right. So where are you right now, David?
I am in Salt Lake City.
Whoa.
And what are you doing over there?
So right now we are at React Rally. And so today was day one of React Rally. Tomorrow's day two.
Woo woo. Are you having a lot of fun?
Yep. I am meeting a lot of, well, meeting again, lots of people, seeing new faces, old faces. It's sort of like a reunion.
Highlights? Aww.
Sorry?
Highlights? Any cool fest that you've been so far?
Sorry, can you repeat that?
You're breaking up a little.
Who broke up?
You.
Oh, I said, any cool highlights? Anything that you've seen so far?
There were a few really cool talks. few of my favorites were, actually all of them were just really good. Shirley Wu, she did a talk on using D3 with React, where it might seem like they're opposing forces, but she showed how they could actually naturally work together and just helping us get rid of our fear of using D3 with React. There was also a talk on how React is not really reactive, which I completely agree with, and so does the React team. And so it was talking about how you could use a functional reactive programming paradigm with React, such as RxJS, and just some interesting experiments around there. There was also a talk by Josh Comeau, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, Comeau, or Comeau, something like that. Anyway, he makes these really cool explorable explanations with React, and some of those are really famous. You might have seen them before, like describing how sound waves work and everything, and
so cool.
Just some of the really cool talks. Yeah,
that sounds amazing. And then we could probably link the React Rally live feed to our show notes as well, because I know that there's a live feed going on.
Already?
Yay!
There is. Mark.
Nifty. And let's talk about maybe like the key framers. It's kind of a really big thing. You want to give a little tidbit about how awesome the key framers are on Twitch?
I wanted to ask if that had something to do with your Copens, if you were doing this and that kind of transformed into this.
So, me and my friend Shaw, we've been, it's something that we were talking about for a while before we started, and we started a few months or a couple months ago. I don't know how many episodes we've done. We've just done so many. But basically, we both had the idea because we both make these, we both love doing these complex animated code pens and just recreating certain animation effects. And so we decided, like, why don't we team up and why don't we just make them together and, you know, just see how much we could crank out in like a 2-hour slot every week. It used to be Thursdays, now it's Mondays, give or take. And so, yeah. Basically, the Keyframers, it's a live stream weekly where we bring imaginative user interfaces to life. So basically, we'll pick something on Dribbble, or someone will challenge us and say, hey, I bet you can't make this animation. And so we're like, challenge accepted, and we try to do it on the air. And this is typically little to no preparation. We basically maybe chat for 5 minutes on our overall strategy, which sometimes works perfectly and sometimes we struggle with, but it's really cool because you see us live on the show. Even if we struggle, even if we can't figure stuff out, we just want to come across as normal humans and not alien people, or not aliens, we promise.
Not robots typing. Yeah. It's awesome that you guys do that live. That has to be super scary sometimes.
And it's not scary because we intentionally, or not intentionally, but we know that we're going to mess up, and that's okay.
Yeah. You show how you're solving the problem, which I think is very
exactly
because there's so
we love that.
Yeah, there's so many tutorials out there where they're like, "Oh, and this is how you do this," and it's like perfect and works perfectly with no mistakes.
Yeah, it's too perfect. Nothing ever works like that. We want to pull back the curtains and show you just like the entire thought process of how everything works.
Have you ever failed completely yet?
Oh, yeah. There have been times where we were doing this one show where we were just making a bunch of loaders. And there was one where, it was like just a simple loader, but we had one square like bouncing underneath all these other squares. And we couldn't get the timing just right. And I know if we spent another half an hour on it, we would have gotten it. But we just decided to mark that one as a fail. And what's awesome is that someone else in the community decided, let me try to do it. And so he was able to fix the animation and make it work. And so that's the rewarding part to us. We want to see and empower people to be able to do these animations without fear.
Yeah. And you're inspiring.
That's our main goal in the show.
Yeah. You're inspiring.
It's
people.
Not just inspiring. We're trying to teach people as well. And so right now the streams are a bit informal because it's not really a structured thing. It's more like, here's how we are doing it. But in the future, and I guess this is the first time it's being officially announced, we want to actually have like tutorials, like either video tutorials or article tutorials or both. And so we want to provide that content to users
as well.
Do it. I think you should do it in the same style though. Like do like decide this is a what I want to show how to do, and then like maybe do a rough outline so you know what you're planning on doing. But like show the mistakes as you're developing the tutorial.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
That's the best part of seeing the whole process.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even the parts where we disagree, that's the most fun part. No.
Yeah, you guys have such great banter.
Silly. Yeah, he has his silly M's versus REMs, and I have my silly position relative for everything, which I think is totally cool, but 99% of the development world does not. So I'm alone on that. That's okay.
Hey, where were you on the show the other day?
What other day?
The last show. You weren't there.
I wasn't there.
On Monday?
On Monday. No, I was traveling on Monday.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's always traveling.
I'm always traveling.
You're never on that show. You're just always traveling. Is that how it works?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So for Monday, I was sort of being a ghost. And the reason why is because I had some unexpected travel where I landed in Seattle. And I wasn't even planning on being in Seattle. I just messed up my flights big time. And my luggage, like, let me just tell you, I wish that my luggage got as many frequent flyer miles because it traveled a lot further than me that time.
So I
wish I could redeem frequent flyer miles for just my luggage. And so I unexpectedly stayed in Seattle, and it wasn't really a conducive environment for me to show my face and talk to people. So I decided to just ghost it. And that actually ended up being pretty fun. So
yeah, it was fun. I was on the live chat. I love that whole turntable thing. That was really cool.
Yeah. So the second part of the animation is going to be, you know, even more fun. We're going to incorporate that turntable and just do the whole 3D animation with the app. So.
And I love the domain that you guys picked.
Oh yeah, keyframe.rs.
Perfect.
Spells keyframers. That wasn't a cheap domain either.
Oh really? How much was it like that?
I don't remember. Shaw knows more than me. His full name is Stephen Shaw, but I just call him Shaw. So just because his Twitter name is at Shashaw.
Shashaw. So I love that. How'd you guys hook up? How'd you guys become friends?
Through the Animation Network community. So it's a Slack room, and so basically everyone who does any sort of web animation or just, you know, animation in general, or people who want to learn more about animation, they go onto this community and just talk about anything that they're having trouble with or anything they want to show off. And so it was started by Rachel Neighbors, who, if you don't know, she is like one of the most prominent voices in the web animations community. In fact, there's a lot of, like, her, Valhead, Sarah Drasner, just like all of these people are extremely talented and extremely prominent in that community. So, and we all hang out there, so it's cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's the cool world. It's where the cool kids hang.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, I know we're getting close to the show because you have you're a little bit short on time for this episode since you're at the conference. So maybe we'll go ahead and start closing everything up. Brian, do you want to jump in your question?
Let's do a few rapid fires to kind of I like that. I think we get a good insight into who David is when we do that.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Yay, lightning round.
Lightning round. Right,
so oh, I call it rapid fire.
You did. I know. I did it too. It's fine. So this is where we ask you a ton of questions, just really, really fast or kind of relatively fast. Okay. And it's just like random things. So it could literally be like, what's your favorite soda? Or like what's your favorite part of observables? Like that kind of thing, right?
Why
so
do you like hate really Alton Brown's meatloaf? Yeah.
I never tried it.
It's delicious.
Alrighty. So first question. What is your favorite color?
Red.
What podcast do you listen to?
My own. No, I'm kidding. I need to listen to more podcasts. I really do. I don't really
Fair enough.
I don't even listen to my own, believe it or not.
Have you ever?
I just let y'all upload to YouTube, and I'm like, that's it.
Have you ever stepped on a nail?
Yeah, I've stepped on nails, Legos, you name it.
Oh, really? All right.
Is it true that you work with VS Code?
I do. In fact, at Microsoft, I worked on a team that worked on the VS Live Share extension on VS Code, which allows you to program collaboratively from anywhere in the world.
Some heroes, heroines?
No, I don't do heroin. Was that your question?
No, certainly wasn't. But, I mean, I'm glad that we got that clear and out of the way.
That's a question.
I'll ask you about some other illegal things Frederick's later on. I mean, heroes or heroines?
So my biggest inspirations, I mentioned a few of them, but in the animation community, definitely I learned a lot from Val Head. Sarah Drasner does a lot of really cool stuff. Rachel Neighbors, who is a great friend. We briefly worked together at Microsoft. Also, on tipiness.net, Code Drops. I don't know if you've probably seen that. Yeah, just some amazing animation work by Manuela Illich. I think that's her name. Like, I realized that she was the one behind so many of these really innovative animations, and that's actually what got me started in just doing front-end development and trying to figure out all these animations. So I owe a lot to her.
Awesome. Coffee or tea?
Coffee, all the way. Black. No sugar.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Favorite all-time resource?
Coffee.
like a development resource.
honestly, just, and this is gonna sound really nerdy, but like just these really old papers, because every single innovative idea that you could think of right now, it's already been done, it's already been researched like 20 years ago, and so that's where you find the most interesting stuff.
What's your favorite thing about yourself?
I don't know.
Next.
Favorite pizza toppings of choice.
Pepperoni, and please cut this out so that no one hates me, but I like pineapple sometimes.
Yeah, I love pineapples. Team pineapple. Boom.
Alrighty, sorry. I'm gonna wrap it up. So we can go with Brian's awesome question.
Better be awesome.
Oh yeah.
A lot of pressure here, Brian.
I actually have no question at all because I had a really busy day today. So I think we'll just leave it today.
Jeez, oh,
what a slack.
All right.
That's okay. It's
I had fine. A busy work day.
It's like okay for Brian to have a busy work
like
day.
Like a four-hour meeting, okay?
It's fine. He didn't have to prepare. So, David, we will close this up. Do you have any final words of wisdom for our audience? Anything you'd like to share?
So definitely keep watching Wild Thunder Nerds, of course, and the Keyframers, because we do have some exciting things to announce within the coming months, you know, as we work on more and more exciting materials beyond just the weekly shows we do. I'm doing a lot of work, especially with other people in the State Charts community. And, we haven't really talked about this too much, but a lot of the other things that I do is related to state machines and state charts. And so even if you go on the Keyframers, I talk about that a lot just because it makes both designing interactions and just dynamic user interfaces, it makes it a lot easier to work with. So, yeah.
Nice. All right. And what's the best way people could get a hold of you if they want to find out more?
So I'm at David K. Piano. And so Piano's not my last name. It's David K. Piano. And that's because my last name's too hard to spell. I probably get it wrong sometimes too. And so you can find me on Twitter, GitHub, LinkedIn if you want. Don't do LinkedIn. Facebook.
Not a fan of the LinkedIn?
Instagram, all that fun stuff.
All right, cool. Yeah, and we'll put a link to all that stuff in the show notes, obviously, and we'll put LinkedIn really big and red.
Yes, please do. I need more connection, more recruiters, please.
Yeah, 10 a day. I get it. Well, hey, David, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Love watching you on all the talks that you do. And definitely the Keyframers is an amazing show and really appreciate what you're doing out there.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been great.
Yeah, absolute honor. And thank you, Pantheon, for sponsoring this episode. Anybody else? Any final words, anybody?
You can find a lot of David's talks online for State Machines and awesome cool stuff. So definitely do those.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Toodles and noodles. Thanks for consuming the Thunder Nerds. We honestly and sincerely appreciate you watching and or listening to the show. Please subscribe on YouTube and iTunes. Write us a review, kick a few stars our way. And above all else, please remember to send your favorite book suggestions to Brian Hinton.
I like romance novels. They have happy endings.
I should have known the Territor didn't mean us any harm when the Sword of Omens didn't obey me. And anyway, it was just plain stupid to assume it might be bad. Just what the fuck am I talking about?